still here for a reason. We're still here for a reason.
Greetings to you, my brothers and my sisters, in Christ Jesus, in Yahushua HaMashiach, our Lord and Savior, back on the lovely island of Sri Lanka, back in the place that I love, because God has given me a love in my heart for this place. And I think I traversed 2/3 of the globe this last trip, getting back from Mexico, because I had to go back through L.A., and then come from L.A. over this way. So the trip was more than halfway around the world. It was long. And, you know, towards the end of a marathon like that, you know, even when I was traveling, sometimes you talk to some guys, and they're, you know, they talk about where they're going and what they've been doing and stuff. And when they find out, when they talk to me about my journey a little bit, they're like, well, boy, I'm glad I don't have to do that. And, you know, I mean, towards the end of long travel, you do feel it, you know, in your body. Because just, you know, airplane food and being crunched up in a position like that for days, literally. It's a little bit rough, but that said, thank God that we get to do the things we do. Thank God for the experiences of life. You know, life is not about finding the most comfortable, the most easy path. No. Life is about following the Spirit of God and allowing Him to give you a fulfilled life, a full life. You know, I think too often what people look for is they look for the path of least resistance. You know, sometimes they try to dress it up even in spiritual terms. But God is not about that. If anything, I see God sending His people into the path of most resistance, where we would encounter time and again struggle and attack and a lot of things that we would not choose in and of ourselves. But after everything's said and done, you look back and you wouldn't trade it either. So that's kind of, you know, the route that we're called to. As a people of God, we're called to the path, the difficult path. And yet, God carries us through. It's not us that does the work, it's the Spirit of God that does the work through us. Because, you know, so often too, I think people with... It's tough. You know, we can't do this for somebody else. And this is, I think, the place where a lot of us get into trouble. Because you can't assume that somebody else has made the same decision that you have to follow Christ. You can't assume that what it means to follow Christ to somebody else is the same thing that it means to you. You can't assume that somebody else has chosen to die to themselves and to die to this world. So, you know, but it's because, you know, we don't live in isolation either. We're called to be in this world, but not of it. I know a lot of Christians that try to dress that up and they're in this world and of it. But no, you are in this world and not of it. So you're called to be that light. You're called to shine. You're called to interact and yet maintain your spiritual allegiance to the King of Kings. Yet to maintain your source and your provision being from Him and not from this world. Your direction coming from Him and not from the voices that are around you. And that gets tested. That gets tested constantly. Gosh, so often that resolution to follow Christ is brought under a test by those that are around you that haven't made the same choice. And it's a really... let's use a natural example, make it a little easier. Say you've made the decision you want to lose some weight. You want to get in shape. Well, and you've got a friend that's completely out of shape, that has zero desire to go that route, zero desire to do anything like that. Well, with that person that has zero desire to get into shape, to discipline their body, would that person be a good person for advice based on the resolution that you've made? Of course not. Because they're not seeking a similar path. They've not sought a similar ends to the one that you have. And yet, you know, how often do the people of God allow for worlders to try to give them advice on spiritual decisions? It makes no sense. You can't hope that a person of this world can give you good advice on the spiritual path. They can give you good advice on worldly decisions, maybe. You know, I mean, you know, this is one place too where it's important that you segment where people are coming from and the information that they say. You know, if somebody gives you, you know, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater in a lot of these cases. You can get some very good information from worldly sources, but just realize, keep them in the right perspective. You know, keep them in the right frame of reference, frame of context to where they're coming from. Know that at the end what their source is and where they're coming from. But, you know, hey, you know, I occasionally check the mainstream news for different things going on. But I keep it in proper context. I use it as a cross section for then other things that are going on, and then I allow the Spirit of God to filter everything so that I can understand what's actually taking place in the world that's around me. But yeah, It's very, very easy to get caught up in a lot of drama and to get into some pretty crazy things that then, you know, are supposedly spiritual, but even those are strange. I got some really weird emails recently with people trying to relate spiritual experiences that they've been having. And one of them in particular I'm thinking about just... you know, really off base, very it's, you know, God is not, there's too many spooky Christians running around. You know, I think the Pentecostal movement has allowed for some really, really insane stuff to go on. And at the end of the day, people have justified some absolutely ridiculous stuff and stuck a spiritual label on it, where in any other context there's no way they could get away with that. In any other context they would be, you know, considered just fruitcakes, but because they put a spiritual label on it and say, this is, you know, God told me this, God said this to me, God, you know, I don't know why people try so hard to make themselves something special. Now, let me clarify that. Something exceptional compared to other people. You know, there's this desire in the heart of fallen people to lord over somebody else. You know, that's kind of a marker I look for. Is this person seeking to control? Is this person seeking to manipulate? Is this person seeking to exalt themselves above their fellow man? Spiritualized or not, is that the motivation of their heart behind what they're trying to say or what they're trying to put across? Because usually when I see that, it's kind of it's again just a mark of the world system. Because the world, what it does is it always seeks to lord over somebody else. Or it wants to get into rank and to have somebody lord over them. You know, that's another thing too I keep seeing, is where people, they want you to have authority over them. They want you to be their master. They want you to, you know, kind of like it's after Jesus fed the 5,000. You remember how they went and wanted to try to make them king, but make him king on their terms, not king on God's terms. You know, and the reason that they want to do something like that is because, you know, they wanted to use him like they wanted to use him. They wanted him to fulfill their purpose and not fall into step with what God was doing. And yeah, people will try to prop you up if you'll fulfill their agenda. But it's, again, back to this game of betraying and being betrayed. Propping one up and then tearing them down. You know, in the kingdom of God, we don't lord over anybody else. You know, in the kingdom of God, we don't try to control anybody else. There is no control. There is no manipulation. There is no ulterior motives, hidden agendas. We just do what the Spirit of God has for us to do. We love the way He allows us to love. We help. We assist. We stop things. We raise up a standard. We challenge where things need to be challenged, where things need to be exposed for what they are. Yeah, we do all of that. And so much more. But it's all in relationship to what the Spirit of God leads and guides us into doing. Not on our own personal agenda. The world is always working an angle. And you know, the thing is, that's funny with the worlders, is that when things don't work out for them, especially those that are trying to be inside of a church system, they spiritualize it all the more. They try to set this thing up all the more to say, okay, you know, this is something that God led and guided me to do. Well, I sometimes just wonder, how's that working out for you? Look, you know for yourself. You know for yourself in the core of who you are. Do you want light? Do you want truth? Do you want God to reveal things for what they are? Do you want to line up with who He is and not your own personal agenda? Not your own personal thing. Is what you want Him, or is what you want your own thing? And if you're just honest about that, you know where you know then for yourself where you're coming from. I forget this, you know, the greater good and doing things because this is what needs to be done, and you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet and all that crap. You know, forget all of that. Do you, in the core of your being, want Him? Is the very center of your desire to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and out of that connection and out of that flow of God in your life, then to love your neighbor as yourself? Is that the core of who you are? If it is, great, you're fine. Then let life be what it is. And if it's not, then don't fool yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Just say it's not. And be honest with God about that. And say, Lord, you know what? Please help me to realign my desires. I want what You would have for me. I want what You would choose for me. You know, when it's a work of the Spirit of God in us. Because, you know, the flesh that we're born into is not naturally wired for this. The flesh that you're born into needs to be brought under subjection, needs to be brought under the control of the Spirit of God and the willful decision of your soul in this life to make your body a temple of the Spirit of God. You have to choose that. You have to choose for the presence of God to be welcome in your life. And if you don't choose that, then you're going to have something else. So, yeah, you know, also right now too, as things are ramping up around the world, as for the children of God, for God's kids, look, you and I, we don't have to worry about anything. We seriously don't. For God's children, we've already been through some really rough times. We've already been through enough situations where we've had to rely on Him for provision. We've had to rely on Him for protection. We've had to rely on Him to make the way where there was no way. We've already been through times plus plus. The world and those in that system, they've sought to set themselves up a particular way. And some of them, now that their stuff is collapsing, they're freaking out. You don't have to freak out. What are you freaked out about? Absolutely nothing. We aren't worried or concerned like they are, because for us, we've already been through. We've already seen God's hand and God's protection on our lives. So why would we worry? What would we be concerned about? We're not anxious about tomorrow. We're not anxious about what the future holds. We allow the Spirit of God to reveal to us, here's what we need to do. Here's how we need to adjust ourselves. Here's how we need to set ourselves. And then we just go on with it. We just move on with it. It's simple. But yeah, it's funny. I was... There's some good books out there from some of the older ones that are worth reading. Some of them not necessarily the spiritual kind, but really good advice in the natural. I was flipping through one written by Dale Carnegie recently. Just natural tips. He's talking about basically how to stop worrying. And he quotes Jesus, he quotes the Sermon on the Mount, he quotes, because he just defaults to it being the best advice on these subjects that it was ever written. So, good job, one thing that, it talks about in that too is like, when you're in a situation and you're perplexed about something, a good way to deal with it is first to... ask yourself, what is the worst possible thing that could happen to you? What's the worst possible thing that could happen in that situation? Because people, they worry and they fret about so much. But just say, okay, what's the worst that could happen? And then the second part is to accept the possibility of the worst possible thing that could happen happening. And resolve yourself to that possibility taking place. And then the third part is, once you've done that, then to do what you can to try to improve the situation from where you're at. Simple. And in so many situations that we face as Christians, alright, what's the worst possible thing that could happen? You end up losing some cash, you die. Is death the worst possible thing that could happen to a follower of Christ? Actually, no. Because for us, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So, when people are worried about... I know sometimes when I travel and some friends, well-meaning friends, write me and they're wondering how I'm doing. But, for me, it's not... To go into... even if it were a hostile or a dangerous situation, if God's sending me there, I know I'm fine. And the worst possible thing that could happen to me in the past, I've you had to resolve yourself to that, was, you might not come out of there alive. Fine. That said, now once you have that, you've accepted the possibility of that, you can get on with the business at hand, which is that which needs to be done. And you go about it, and there's a release then. There's a freedom then. You relax. Your body relaxes. Your mind relaxes. Your health relaxes. Because when people carry... like, you carry tension in your body. Athletic reference. If you do a sport, if you try to... I've done several sports. Some of them... you know, at a very high level. But if you do a sport, if you carry tension when you do your sport, you will never perform at your optimal level. You can't carry tension and at the same time perform at your maximum. You know, I remember who was it? Johnson, the guy that I remember watching him run the 200 where he broke the world record in the Olympics. I think he went like a 19.3 in the 200 track and field. But when they showed him in slow motion, even though he was traveling at a tremendous speed, you could just see how relaxed he was. How, you know, just even in his face. And, you know, just, I just remember watching that, you know, a few of these boxers that are out there, some of these amazing swimmers that there are. And the guys that perform at the top levels, they've learned to relax at optimal performance level. There is that spot that is that balance that very, very few athletes ever find. And if they find it, ever know how to maintain that at a competitive, at a top elite level. The ones that have, those are the best in the world. That they've combined discipline, performance, and at the same time, also the ability to relax at that top level when they actually have to compete. So, you know, kingdom people as well, this is part of the discipline of a disciple. A disciple of Christ, you've learned to let the Spirit of God flow through you. You've learned to not try to do it, not try to fix it, not try to manipulate it, not try to make something happen, make something work, not try to be in control of your life. But you've learned to relax and let the Spirit of God do that which you cannot do. Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You've learned to do all things through Christ. You've learned to do all things via letting go and letting. Oh, that's a cliche line. Let go and let God. Yeah, it's a cliche, and people throw it around, but they don't know what it means. You hold nothing in and of yourself. The Spirit of God flows through you, and as it flows through you, you just get out of the way and allow Him to do that. Part of that process is the dying to self. Part of that process is not having a personal objective, not having a personal agenda, not having or desiring anything in this world, not wanting your own way to come to pass. And sure, you have desires, sure you have things that God puts in you, but you put those at His feet. And you allow for Him to take those desires, take those things that you would want, you'd hope for, and you allow Him to bring them to pass at His way. And if He does not, you know that He has the abundant life for you, so you default to His choice. You default to what the Spirit of God would choose for you and not what you would choose in and for yourself. Oh, but you know what people do? They want to choose what they want to choose. They want what they want. And then when they choose that, then they put God's stamp on it. And then they will fight you tooth and nail if you reveal anything contrary to that. So, you know, and a lot of times I just let things be what they are, and I just speak if God gives me something to say. But, what can you say? People make decisions, they make choices. And you can't choose for somebody else. Ultimately, a person, you know what you can do is you can choose for yourself. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You can choose You can make the decision, you can make the choice and say, this is the way that I will choose to go. This is the choice that I will make, which is to follow God, to be one with His Spirit, to allow for nothing to separate, nothing to come between me and the Spirit of God. That there is oneness between me and His Spirit. I don't want anything to separate me from Him. You can have that. But you can't do that for somebody else. And you know, this is where too, you know, one of the best things that you can do for other people, if you want that for somebody else, one of the best things you can do for other people is just to live it yourself, to be true and authentic in that. Because if people will see, people will know. People know there's something different in you. They know something awesome is happening with you because they see it in your life. And when they do, they're going to want to know that source. And the source is plain. The source is real. You live it, and then eventually they realize, look, the only distinguishing factor is that this person's been with Christ. This person belongs to Him, truly, authentically. And then they want that true and real, authentic connection if they belong to Him too. If they're marked by God for Him. So, you know, rather than trying to browbeat and convince and get everybody inside your club, why don't you just go on and live the truth? Be that truth. I'm thinking of all these quotes coming back to mind. Be the change in the world that you desire to see. Well, yeah, you know, element of that too. Sure. Just, you know, rather than talking about the things that need to be changed, need to fix, just do it. Just, you do it. You become part of that. You be the standard that you expect. You know, I find it amazing that people will expect something out of somebody else that they refuse to do themselves. It's amazing to me how there are preachers, I hesitate to even call them preachers, just talkers, guys that have an audience that talk, that will demand something of their congregation, those that have been assembled, that they themselves would never do. That they themselves would never expect of themselves, but they will expect it of others. They will put it on other people. For me, a general principle that I've really sought to do is not ask somebody to do something that I myself would not be willing to do. Because you lead by example. You set the standard by your life and what you do and how you relate to others. And how, so if, so, you know, don't ask somebody to clean the bathroom if you're not willing to clean the bathroom. And do it off and on. Do it occasionally. Don't ask somebody else to go to an outpost, to do a job, to put themselves at risk and in harm's way, if you yourself are not willing to do the same thing. It's pretty classic, actually, just the way that people expect out of others a standard they will not expect out of themselves. It's pretty amazing to me that in America, 535 people that make the decisions for the country, between the different branches of government that we have in that country, that they ask and request and expect things out of the people that they govern that they would never ever do themselves. I think that is a point to be noted. It would be really, really nice, and I know it's probably unrealistic in this life, probably unrealistic on this side of eternity, but gosh, wouldn't it be nice if there was an honest politician, somebody that really cared about the best interest of his people, somebody that couldn't be bribed, was not being blackmailed, was not bought, was not owned by a corporate interest, was not the enemy of his constituency, the enemy of his own people. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be refreshing? Wouldn't that be, you know, just if that was the rule and not the exception? I mean, you know, to find an honest politician today is a needle in a haystack. They're there, but few and far between. And when that's in the vast minority, what can those guys really do? When you have to work with consensus, when you have to work with others to make decisions, and the vast majority is owned and bought and paid for. So, yeah, but you know what? I mean, there is still the advancement of God's kingdom in this earth. And God's church, God's true church, is fine. God's true church is healthy. God's true church is in step with His Spirit. God's true church needs no reformation. We're going from glory to glory, from strength to strength. We're in step with Him, and we're enjoying the benefit of hearing the voice of God and the Spirit of God, and doing that which He instructs and wills us to do. I'm not concerned really about much right now. I know there's a lot going on in this world, but really, you know, we've only scratched the surface as far as like where things are going to continue to go. And rather than people trying to save their lives in this world, wouldn't it be much better if people would just align themselves with what the Spirit of God is saying and do their part? Do the part that the Spirit of God has for you to do, so that you can finish and accomplish that work He intends for you, and then you can leave this life having accomplished the purpose that He desires. Rather than trying to make something of yourself in this world according to your terms, and then to check out, having wasted your life and your effort and your energies on something that was apart from the Spirit of God. You know, nothing done apart from the Spirit of God has any lasting value. It doesn't. Which is ironic, because people, you know, I wonder if people could just see what of their life is actually going to last, if they would, from eternity, if they would have a chance to switch onto that side and take a look, if they would then change. I wonder sometimes, because, you know, for a lot of people, the vast majority of their existence in this life is done in separation from the Spirit of God and His leading. And as a result, even though God's purposes will be accomplished, their lives and that which they've done counts for nothing. So they worry, they stress, they have sleepless nights, anxieties, perplexing, ulcers, headaches. They wake up early, they go to bed late, they do all of these things, and all apart from the Spirit of God, which means that that which they've done counts for nothing. Their lives are like so much chaff that really it meant nothing. And yet there are those that have learned to move with the Spirit of God, and that which they do, it counts, it lasts. It has eternal value. And they live a fulfilled life in this side. And then from here, they go on to be with Him. That's the way you want to live. That's the way I want to live. That's the way I've chosen to live. And, you know, it's a discipline. It's a choice. And once that resolution's been made, it will be challenged. But as it's challenged, it's okay. Each day, you take it as it comes. Give us this day our daily bread, is what God taught you to pray. Take it one day at a time. Take it one moment at a time. You know, right now, this is the moment that you have. This is the window that you have. This is the space that you have to do that which God intends for you. You don't have tomorrow. And whatever's come before is that is just that. It's what's come before. You know, people spend so much time trying to live in past victories, in past performances, in past accomplishments. Everything in the past, it's done. Under the blood of Christ, good or bad, success or failure, it doesn't matter. It's all hidden in Him. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the moment where, at this moment in time, you can walk with the Spirit of God, or you can choose to get sucked up into the world. It's your choice. But you know enough to know that the way of Christ is the path of life and truth. So when we choose that, we choose victory. We choose a solution and the ability to, once you're in that spot, in right connection with Him, for His Spirit to flow through you, to accomplish the purposes that He intends in and through your life in this world. In this world, but not of it. Oh gosh, you know what? For me, I just appreciate God's assignment. I appreciate the place on the wall that He's put me. I appreciate the fact that He is true to every promise that He's made. Not necessarily in the timing that I would think, but in His way, which is always perfect, in His way, which is the way that you want in the end. So don't complain, don't grumble. If you've got a question, sure, make it known. Don't be anxious about anything, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. We do that. And as we do that, hey, His Spirit accomplishes His desire in and through us as we release and let go unto Him. So, hey, love you guys. I'm going to get back into a groove here. And, hey, whatever I got that God gives me, whatever He puts in me, you know where to check for it. So, hey, love you guys. God bless you. And I'll catch up with you again sometime really soon. So drop us an email, say hi, and catch up very soon. All right, take care.